Earth and Sky.
It was a very interesting experience because some scenarios were brought up that one may not consider. They're very interesting scenarios that had to do with how we link technology to privacy and security.
That was Paula Hammond at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and you're listening to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science podcast. Hammond was one of a panel of experts who explored NANO's potential to help monitor and keep track of, well, just about everything. It's part of a Fred-friendly seminar series being broadcast on public television stations in 2008. The series title is Nanotechnology, the Power of Small.
According to poll after poll about nanotechnology, the public basically knows very little about it. What is the most important thing that you would like to tell the public about nanotechnology?
Nanotechnology is not one single thing. It's a number of different areas which examine both materials and physics on the nanometer length scale. It does give us a broad range of advantages because what it really means is that we're able to engineer and design things on this very small scale. And by doing that, we gain a lot. We can generate very high-strength materials that can end up in your tennis racket, or super grip materials that can end up on the handle of your golf club. But we can also engineer materials that are extremely sensitive and can therefore detect something that might cause disease. We might be able to generate biomedical sensors that are extremely accurate, and we can also use it for information. And it's in that information realm that we begin to talk about security versus privacy.
This has a bit to do with the research work that you do at MIT. Tell me a little bit about your research.
We actually make very thin films. We use a technique which allows us to put down nanometer length scale materials into a device. And because these systems are so thin, we can introduce a large amount of functionality. The other ability that we have is to look at chemistries that are extremely sensitive. And in that case, it's possible to look at sensing materials, which include materials that respond to the presence of a chemical or a biological entity that we want to detect. For example, the ability to detect anthrax at very small levels.
How might nanotechnology help prevent something like a terrorist attack from happening?
I think what we're describing is the connection between nanotechnology and information technology. Nanotechnology allows us to generate things like sensors. Those kinds of systems require the design and engineering of materials that are very smart, that actually respond to a stimulus with another kind of arrangement or stimulus. It also requires that there is computing that is smart, that is intelligent, and information available that can be mined to respond to the event. And it's the combination of those things which enable one to design a system that can respond to some sort of dangerous event with safety measures, for example.
Are there some specific examples of something like this? Could you maybe tell us about what's being developed right now, what's available right now? Give us some concrete examples here.
There are some examples of things that we're trying to do with nanotechnology. In fact, one of the projects that I refer to is involved in MIT's Institute for Soldier Nanotechnology, in which we're trying to design uniforms which might respond to the presence of a chemical attack or a biological attack by shutting down the membranes in a soldier's uniform so that that uniform does not allow the absorption of the chemical that can actually attack the soldier. An example might be mustard gas, which attacks essentially by burning and eroding the skin. In this case, we could actually design systems which respond to small amounts of mustard gas by shutting down the fibers, closing up the fibers of the uniform. We're also looking at uniforms that respond to things like temperature and light so that we have essentially smart uniforms. This same kind of technology could be applied in the ventilation systems of a subway, in which we manage or control ventilation by monitoring the air that ventilation system is about to encounter and engaging a response with a shutdown of the ventilation.
One of the concerns that was brought up was the intentions are good in developing these new materials, these new devices, but there's still concern that they might not be used properly among scientists. Is there much talk about this? You know, how these things might be used?
I think with all scientific discovery, there's the possibility of good and bad use of the science. And that's something that scientists always have to ponder as they explore. However, the issue is that one can't simply not discover because there's the possibility that someone may use your technology in the wrong way. When you know that there are many good and advantageous and perhaps life-saving applications for the science. As scientists, I think it's important for us to raise the level of discussion about how these things get used and the level of awareness with the public so that the public is neither afraid of the technology nor are they ignorant of it, so that they're able to address these issues and really influence public policy in the way that public policy should be influenced in a democracy, which is through the voices of the people.
Is there something that's been on your mind that you just didn't get a chance to tell your panelists, something that you'd like to tell us today?
One of the things that we talked about was the ability to watch and monitor people at very close levels, and also the ability to track what a person does, what a person reads, what a person buys. And personally, this is not, in my view, the best use of these technologies. I think that these technologies, when implemented in a way that makes our world safer, they're great, but I think that there are boundaries, and those boundaries aren't threatened by science. Those boundaries are threatened by fear. And if we allow fear to guide how science is used, how technology is used, then we end up with technologies that are essentially scary. And that includes over-monitoring of individuals and things that can skirt on people's rights. And that's where we can really have an impact, is by expressing our feelings about the degree of security we want versus the degree of privacy that we need.
That was Paula Hammond of MIT. This special Clear Voices for Science podcast was produced in cooperation with ICANN Productions and the Fred Friendly Seminars, with funding from the Department of Energy and the National Science Foundation. Go to powerofsmall.org to find out more. I'm Joel Block, and this is EarthSky's Clear Voices for Science podcast.
We're at EarthSky.org.